Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. Waffle House. I shouldn't have said it in such a joyous way. But Waffle House.
You really had to just go.
Waffle House. Let's bring it down here. No, there was a mass shooting there in Nashville. Waffle House. The perp has a long history of making threats. He was naked, but for a trench coat. Very, very strange story. But yeah, four people were killed, and he was wrestled to the ground by like a real life John McClane action hero.
Yeah, like where as it was happening, you know, they're asking him like, you know, what were you thinking? And he just said, "I'm going to have to try to find some kind of flaw or a point in time where I could make it work for myself." And by making it work for himself, he bum rushed this dude and tackled him to the ground and got the gun away from him. Right. And then the dude eventually escaped. And as of just recording, we found out that he was apprehended. Yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, there was a real hero there. And this guy was also another person who had a very clear record of having problems with his mental state. And he had his guns taken away, but then they were given back to his father, who then just gave them back to him. And well, yeah, when you look at sort of his, like, he was a known entity to law enforcement for, like, saying stuff like Taylor Swift was actually stalking him and shit like that.
Which, I mean, we don't know whether to believe that or not, right? Like... No.
If Taylor Swift, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We don't know. But do you remember, last year there was a guy who bum-rushed the White House lawn and tried to get into the White House
and
was like,
that.
I'm a sovereign citizen. That's this guy.
Right.
So it's just, again, we need to be doing more about our gun control because clearly this is another person who clearly should not have been anywhere near any kind of weapons.
And obviously gun rights people are going to say, well, he like broke the law, but our laws need to be more strictly enforced. And need yeah. to work around the fact that they're like anybody can get a gun at any time, given the current just flood of guns in the United States. So, yeah, we need to work around that because there are a lot of mentally ill people out there and there are a lot of guns out there. And when those two ingredients are put together, we're going to have shit like this until we start getting guns off the street, I think.
Yeah. It's just weird how fucking normal this shit is now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. even when I saw the headline, I really thought, oh, only four people were killed.
Right.
And that's fucking terrible
that is
place
awful.
To be in mentally where yeah. that's like the calculus in my mind of like, oh, is there like a number that is makes it a tragedy in my mind? Or like, that's how I've had to compartmentalize. You know what I mean?
It's yeah. just a, I'm sure it would have been more if not for this fucking dude who like just had the insane, like instinct for self-preservation, but just instinct to, you know, go do the thing that I think 99.9% of the population would not have the guts to do and like yeah. tackle. And, you know, he said he was only looking out for himself, but I'm sure he saved a lot of people's lives.
100% of Republicans that are for guns would never do that stuff.
Right.
They would exactly. never, ever, ever.
And I don't even think if they had a gun on them, they would actually shoot another
they
person.
They wouldn't.
Because this is the other thing, what we were talking about earlier, is like, I don't think, at least the gun owners I know, they don't own guns because they have a fantasy about using them on other people. Like, gun owners I know are people who like target shooting or just like are part of like a culture of like, you know, their parents were veterans and things like that or in law enforcement. So they just grew up around guns or whatever. But they don't this idea of a person who's like always packing a pistol or whatever and is just ready to enforce the law on somebody. You know, I think you have to really look at our fabric as people. Like, we're not built to be doing shit like that.
Yeah, because it's batshit crazy. I wish I heard more from sane gun owners like this. Because the whole conversation is so black and white. It's
right.
like either guns go away or you have crazy people screaming that
or like, I would have killed
them. Don't take away my guns. And
right,
I
yeah.
would have killed them. And it's just like, it would be great to hear from sane, regular people who like, use guns.
Well, I think
recreationally,
we're seeing, right, and I thought,
and think that there should be a lot of laws,
yeah.
you know, regulating it. But I don't hear from those.
Well,
people.
We did for a second right after Parkland, right? There were a lot of people who were not a lot, but there was this. There was like this sort of. It was like fashionable for people to be like, "I was in the military. This is my AR. I'm breaking it because like citizens
yeah.
shouldn't have it." And there was that kind of thing. But yeah, I feel like there could be a lot to this debate when you. Actually have like common sense people or like
right.
or even gun owners who aren't seen as immediately being these
right.
sort of like doomsday prepper
yeah.
type people.
It's really a shame that the NRA has chosen the direction they've chosen because the NRA is when you buy a gun, they are you go to a training course immediately that is sponsored by the NRA.
Right.
They are pro responsible gun ownership. It's just that their public persona, their public brand has become this like crazy
vigilante
like, fucking
thing.
Vigilante
yeah.
justice thing. And yeah, I mean, there are two camps. There are the sane gun owners who, you know, buy a gun or two
right.
and, you know, keep it in a safe or, you know, take it to target practice. But then there is this gun culture. Like if you look at gun magazines, there are all these stories, there are ads written to be like, you know, protect your family
right,
with
right.
this like mm-hmm. automatic or like semi-automatic
yeah.
assault rifle. And, you know, those are the people that the gun industry is focused on because those are the people who buy 50 fucking guns.
Right,
yeah.
and are going to be the most sort of energetic when
right.
defending the right to own a weapon.
Right,
right.
Yeah, I guess it really is two camps. It's those people who, yeah, they're responsible and other people who are really operating in this bizarre fantasy world where they have to protect themselves from the evil.
I think we need to put pressure.
It's not even a bizarre world. It's like very much a world that's been like cultivated by this like xenophobic racist.
For sure. Yeah, you're right.
Like they're coming to get me.
Yeah, these thugs
they're
are going to invade your home.
White women.
Right.
It's just like just you know I would love for us to just talk more openly about. Like, just call a thing a thing. It's
right,
just like
right.
you guys have been brainwashed with racist and xenophobic ideas about
right, by your local
get
news.
You.
By
yeah.
fucking
and you've
everything,
never been
by
outside
Fox
of
news.
Wherever you're from.
Right, right. exactly.
Like you've never met that kind of person.
Right,
you're
right,
scared
exactly.
scared of them and want to shoot them. So it's, anyway.
I think people, let's put pressure on responsible gun owners to kind of have more of a
voice.
More of a voice,
yeah.
like find your
Stand
own NRA.
Up.
Right, because
like
they're
have like
yeah.
sane NRA, SNRA.
Right.
I want to see somebody
I've had
put
people
that shit together.
Message me on Twitter and Instagram talking about their gun, like especially around the Parkland time when we
yeah.
were talking about it, saying like, I'm a responsible gun owner. I don't think people need like this and that.
Yeah.
But I think Yeah, it's important that we can still talk about gun ownership in a way that is divorced from this idea that it's either taking all your guns or every guns for everybody.
There's a middle ground.
Yeah, smartest person I've ever talked to about gun ownership is this guy Jason Pargin, who writes at Cracked as David Wong, and he's a gun owner, but he has this inside look at the gun industry because, like, he grew up around gun magazines, and so he knows like how crazy that part of it is. But you know, he's also a responsible gun owner. So, I think those are the people to sort of help us reel this fucking crazy conversation in a little bit.
Yeah, because I think on the right, many people view people on the left as every liberal person wants to take away all of your guns. And then there are people on the left who think everyone on the right in regards to guns are just crazy gun-obsessed people who just want to keep guns everywhere out in the open. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to understand that it's much more nuanced. I feel like, yeah, the discussion is really so black or white. It's a little crazy.
And to me, it, like, the saddest part is, like, whenever I read about it, it looks like it just comes down to sales. It just comes down to, like, if the conversation isn't black and white, then it hurts our sales.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's like, if we have any kind of sanity going into this, then...
Yeah.
You know, our shareholders don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't make money.
Because it's an industry where not people are.
Right.
It's not like a refrigerator where every home needs one, but they want you to think that every home is incomplete without a weapon.
Like, if that is what needs to get hurt, then that thing needs to get hurt real bad. Yeah. Like, those sales need to.
Well, and that's why you're seeing a lot of manufacturers, like, I feel like it was Remington or Mossberg recently. They had to file for bankruptcy. I think it was Remington. Yeah. Because, like, sales are declining and. Because I think most people are kind of catching
on. Not everyone needs a gun.
Right.
But sales aren't declining to the point that, I don't know, the industry still did really well during the Obama presidency and I think maybe got a little greedy and maybe overexpanded, and that's why Remington fell down. But yeah, David Hogue, the kid from Parkland, has been talking about, you know, these financial industries like Vanguard and different big banks have a lot of their money in the gun industry. And, you know, if you have your money with them,
divest.
Yeah, divest or let them know, like, you don't want any of your money in the gun industry and, you know, get it away from those funds that are helping to support this shit. And just real quick, we actually have late breaking news because we're doing this a little earlier than normal. We just had a story added to the doc by our writer on the ground in Toronto, Mr. J.M. McNabb. He lives in Toronto and he was pointing out that you know, even though racists on Twitter were quick to call the attacker a terrorist or a jihadist and blame the city's Muslim population, people who looked at his Facebook post before they were taken down found that he had lauded Elliot Rodger, the California shooter from 2014 who raged about a number of women turning down his advances. He also used the word incels, meaning involuntary celibate. He said, quote, "The incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all the Chads and Stacys." Tucker Carlson just had the hardest time understanding how the government of Canada could say there was, quote, "no connection to a jihadi group." So this makes a lot more sense because I was thinking, even if there was an absence of motive, even if it was just mental illness, they would still speculate that he was motivated by ISIS or could be. They would fill that motive in. They did that with the Vegas shooter, for instance, because we like never figured out what he was on about. And in this case, they just like completely disappeared the story. And I think it's because his politics were this sort of weird sort of
men's rights kind of shit of like blame women for their own shittiness kind of mentality, which aligns perfectly with the alt-right.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, though, too, because Chads are like
the handsome alt-right.
The peak alt-right male you could be. So even the fact that he's like, he is clearly so on the incel side that he can't look at anybody who has like some kind of sex life or social life.
Yeah, I don't think it's red and blue. I think they're taking a different red pill, blue pill situation.
Right, exactly.
That is a fascinating and so sad world of broken, lonely people. There's nothing involuntary about your celibacy. What's involuntary is the self-examination, the tiny changes you would have to make to progress as a person, to not get fucked, dude, but to connect with other humans on a physical and emotional level.
There you go.
You are not doing work. You're just not doing the work. You'll get a sandwich made for you if you do the work. People make you sandwiches because they love you.
So we also wanted to take a look at Sean Hannity and his real estate empire.
Right.
So it came out that he basically owns 870 homes in seven states.
What?
Yeah.
Which, you know, he had talked about how Michael Cohen helped him with real estate stuff, and you assumed it was like, yeah, hey, could you look at this contract for, with my landlord right. for me or something like that?
Hey, the foundation might have a crack in it. Should right. I go through with this?
So he's bought like entire like condo buildings.
Well, yeah. So the thing is, in the Guardian, there was this report that showed that he basically is in control of these shell companies that have spent at least $90 million mm-hmm. on like properties that are mostly distressed homes, like, you know, homes mm-hmm. that were about to be foreclosed on, and was just like mass purchasing them. I think he has two condos that actually have agreements with HUD, with the Housing and Urban Development Department, which also makes it weird when you have Ben Carson on your show and you know you're this, praising him yeah. but not disclosing. It's like right. I also have some buildings that you
is
know.
Is Fox News trying to get in that HGTV business?
Yeah, right.
Hannity's going to be flip or flop.
Right. He
flip
I mean,
or flog.
So you had Ben Carson on. What did he talk to him about?
They're just it was just kind of oh how great of a job you're doing. Just like you know, right. it was just like a softball thing, like just making him look
good
really
good publicity
great.
For the housing and
when,
the urban
when,
development.
Exactly
office.
When Ben Carson is fucking up in an insane amount,
right?
And then, but also then we find out that not necessarily that Ben Carson, like you know, put these new regulations into effect that. The same buildings that Hannity owns, like they're part of a program that in 2019, like, you know, they will be allowed to turn it from like subsidized housing units into condominiums that they can just package and sell on their own. So before it was like, okay, well, look, we'll give you these loans. We'll subsidize the housing if you're allowing people to stay there because they need like cheaper housing. But then they're saying, but look, just wait a couple years. And then you can flip the building, sell
right.
for condominiums,
you can kick everybody
and
out.
Then nobody has to live there, and then they can figure it out on their own.
So the we in that instance is HUD.
We
They're
is
like,
HUD.
We will help finance this so that we have cheap housing, and then, yeah.
But that's not necessarily the entire game of HUD, but like that's a
no,
thing
no, yeah.
to just
they're
take.
They're supposed to be good.
Yeah, they're right. supposed to be good. They're trying
they're
to.
They're supposed to be on our side.
That's what kind of makes it more infuriating when Sean Hannity goes up there and is just that disingenuous.
Right, and is talking about how great Ben Carson is at his job when, yeah, like you said, the HUD is supposed to be the good guys who are helping poor people who like need places to live. And instead, even this morning, there was a news alert that he was suggesting that they raise the rent in subsidized housing, and
right.
make people like get jobs in order to live in places. So basically, his read on the situation is, well, these poor people are just too lazy.
Well, yeah, I mean that's
always,
that's how all conservatives think, though. Like yeah. everything is
they
a handout.
Weed.
Right. Yeah,
it's like,
just smoke weed and fuck and make 900 babies.
So, I mean, he is part of this huge trend, which all comes from the financial crisis in 07, 08, where, you know, lots of people lost their homes. Their homes were foreclosed on. And Wall Street just bought up all of these houses
yeah.
and then started renting them out to people for, you know, hiked up rents. So a lot of people on Wall Street are making money off of these home foreclosures that they caused in the first place, but they see a financial crisis as an opportunity to make more money off of people who are in crisis.
Everyone has, I don't even know who I'm meaning when I say everyone, but like I've heard from multiple people in the real estate world, they're like, another crash is coming. And I'm like, no, I thought that you had to put down 20% and they're
right.
like, oh, no. Like, it's coming. Like, if you want to buy a house, wait 3 years because it's bottoming out again. And it's I don't know if it's going to be as bad as 07 and 08.
Yeah.
But like a new wave of it. Like prices in New York have already started to drop. And that's like a indication of like, oh, fuck, it's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing with these companies, like especially, you know, Blackstone is like this huge private equity company. That they have, they're like one of the biggest offenders, like of this sort of
a good
trend.
Name.
Yeah,
well, it's mean.
It's, yeah, it sounds like a fucking, as J.M.
Yeah,
McNabb
like
says, a Harry Potter bad guy.
Yeah.
Right. Blackstone.
Yeah, these companies, they're kind of like, hey, look, looking at Wall Street, be like, we have an opportunity to just buy all these houses that are like going on the cheap. And in some cases, like someone that Hannity was in business when he went to jail for like artificially tanking prices at these auctions to be able to buy them at lower prices, who like once those houses are bought, that's money that probably could have gone to the homeowner, to pay back their debt. But anyway, and that guy went to jail. But that's aside the point. The thing
that's
is
the sort of thing that's happening is they're taking these foreclosed on homes and basically buying them up cheap and taking away these assets from the people who were victimized by the financial crisis. So Sean Hannity is like the guy behind the guy behind the guy, like making shitloads of money off of the people who watch his show and are like, there's a normal everyday American right there.
Yeah, meanwhile,
Sean Hannity, he's making money off of you and putting you out of your fucking home.
Or even just saying, oh, you know, look at the home ownership is going down. Obama, look at these foreclosure rates. And it's like, my man, you are the destroyer. You are the same person who is taking advantage of this situation.
Yeah, I feel like there is sort of this dialogue of like homeownership is going down because our generation is like bad. Like we've ruined chain restaurants. It's like, okay, we don't want to do. It's like, yes, we are afraid to buy home. That wasn't our fault. We were young kids. We were just like in high school, college, and buying a home became this catastrophic, terrible thing. So yeah, now we don't want to buy a home. Well, and there will be people that are forever renters. And guess what? We didn't fucking make that happen. You guys did.
Right. And also, the fact is that wages don't really match. Younger people aren't making the kind of money you even need to begin thinking about buying a home.
Right.
It's depending on where you live in a huge urban center. I mean, clearly there are other places where it is more achievable. But like, for example, California, New York. I mean, you can't.
DC, Chicago.
Owning in the city. Yeah, it's big cities, it's a huge thing. And, you know, when they look at, like when a lot of these houses went to auction, when they're being foreclosed on, you know, you'd have people who were trying to buy a house, like maybe first time homeowners who, you know, like maybe you're people of color who traditionally had a really hard time buying a home. You have these Wall Street people come in with cash up front and go, we'll buy this shit for cash right now.
Yeah.
And that's already puts people who are traditionally trying to buy a home at a tremendous disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
So when they buy up all these houses, they amass this like massive revenue stream of just renters. And then they've also started selling the bonds of taking all the rent that's being paid and selling that off too.
Right. They package that into a bond, which I guess is more sort of predictable than the, you know, mortgage that they had before, like all those shitty mortgages they had before. But, you know, when you have a home that is essentially owned and like tied up in a Wall Street bond, like your landlord does not give a fuck about you. Like they're not in it to help you out. And like there are all these horror stories of people who, you know, who are paying rent for these houses that are owned by giant private equity firms who like there will be a crack in their ceiling and they'll be like, it's getting worse, guys, nobody's been by to look at it, and then their fucking ceiling caves in,
right?
Or like one where there was like water squirting through a light fixture,
so it
just seems dangerous,
a live wire with water shooting out. That sounds fine. And then you try and call your landlord like, sorry, look, we're way too massive to look at the actual renters. And that's a problem too, because if the renters are not satisfied, they will leave. And now that is going to affect the rent that's being paid on those properties. Like part of those bonds being healthy too is that you can keep people actually in those units or in those homes. And if they're not doing that, that's why a lot of critics are saying, like, if you can't even keep people happy or safe in their homes, how do you expect to maintain and not have super high turnover without a real plan to address that?
Maybe we all got to stay in like on a Tuesday and rewatch The Big Short.
Right.
Because it's that just came out. Well, yeah. How are we already? I haven't seen it. I've fallen asleep three different times trying to watch it on a plane.
Really focus.
It's a tough plane movie. But it's like, I think it's about this.
Yes.
I think we need to regroup because if this happens again, that's going to be pretty embarrassing.
Right. And one of the reports, they say that, like, you know, the difference with these sort of these bonds that they're selling now is like, you know, when banks will repossess a mortgaged home as collateral, there's at least the assumption that the homeowner has probably defaulted on the mortgage, and then it makes sense for this person to be, you know, to be ousted or evicted from their home. Whereas like in these bonds, like if a bond blows up, so many families are tied up in them. Like one bond melting down could lead to a ton of evictions, just even if you never were late on your payments. So it's just a very weird situation. I think what, you know, obviously it's not that Sean Hannity is exactly this company, but he's employing the sort of same sort of tactics, and he saw the same lucrative opportunity to do this, And people need to be aware that this company, Blackstone, I think they own up to like 80,000 single family homes.
Yeah.
That's a fucking racket. You know what I mean? And people don't realize that, wow, like even the housing market created a new corporate overlord for your rent. It's like they had their eyes on this shit from the start. They're like, hey, well, look, the market will bottom out and we can just jump in with cash and buy up massive amounts of properties at once.
President Trump has even said before he was president, he said he sort of hoped for a housing market crash. So, quote, people like me will go in and buy like crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back. All right, let's talk about the upcoming midterms, Miles.
Yeah, you said, let's talk about that.
Your headline in our doc is, fuck Mueller, focus on the fucking midterms.
That's right, because, nice. Again, everybody, all the liberals were dancing in the streets being like, oh, man, Cohen's going, he's going to flip. Mueller's going to, You know, I get it. Look, this fucking presidency is a nightmare, and we're trying to look at any way to get out of it to end this thing. But I think people need to be really realistic, right? I think the most important thing is that we have an effective check on the executive branch, because right now, with the Republicans controlling all the chambers, that means people can, like in the House and in the Senate, can use their power to just simply obstruct or keep the Democrats from properly investigating or getting answers to things, or just generally holding the president or his cabinet members accountable. Mm-hmm. So Let's paint a picture that is an actual nightmare for Trump. It's 2019, okay? And they are swearing in the whole new batch of Democrats that have basically given the Democrats control of the House. Nancy Pelosi maybe gets her gavel back if Nancy Pelosi does in fact become the speaker again. And now we have 21 subpoena-wielding House committee chairmen waiting to just, it's full-on investigation season. So, okay, so there are 21 committees in the House where their chairmen actually have subpoena power.
Okay.
So they can, you know, some of them, there's a committee vote or a consultation with a ranking minority member, but none of them actually give the minority, like, any veto power. As we saw in the House's investigation, quote-unquote, into Russia, where Adam Schiff was powerless as the ranking minority member. All right. He could do is be like, Devin Nunes is fucking around. And he had nothing. He could do nothing except to just be like, they're fucking around.
So these 21 different committees are always led by whoever has the most.
Whoever's
House
the
members.
Majority party.
Okay.
That means whatever the ranking member is, you suddenly become the chairperson or you become the ranking minority member.
Okay,
so based on the power. How mm-hmm. it's distributed. Now, the crazy thing is when you're checking the executive branch, it can be one chamber. Like the Senate can do that on their own. The House can do that on their own. It's not like legislation where both houses have to agree on the legislation and then, you know, has that its own process. When it comes to accountability and things like that, any one chamber can do that on their own. They don't need the other chamber to do that. So that's very interesting because right now, as we've seen, is that basically the GOP has used their power to just gum up any investigations, or they use their subpoena power to get fucking just to obstruct Mueller's investigation or just protect the president. But we're starting to see that using their majority as like a human shield is not really the best practice, because there are many people who are getting off the fucking ship very quickly, as you can see with the number of retirements. They don't like what's written in the sand.
So on the retirements, the question I've had is this just an unprecedented number of retirements, or are all of these people coming to a point in their career when, you know, they might normally retire and it's like an either or thing? Or
I think like a very diplomatic reading of it would be there will always be people retiring. Mm-hmm. There will always be people switching offices or looking to get other positions. So that always happens. There's always a set number. I think we're above 44 now, which is actually not normal. Like it's the number of it, which kind of transcends the sort of normal turnover when it comes to the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing a lot of people just being like giving weird examples. Like other people be like, I'm actually going to go into the private sector to do this or whatever.
To make money and
exploit my, like John Boehner did. It's like, look, let me get out a little bit and then I'm going to get all the GOP to come around on medical marijuana or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, so you look at like Jason Chaffetz, he was like, I want to be with my family. Or like Paul Ryan was like, I want to be with my family. Which I get.
We all want to be with our family.
Everyone wants to be with their family. But, you know, it didn't. Prior to Trump, you seemed to have no problem being a.
Get my family the fuck away from me.
Yeah, you're like, dude, I'm chilling in my condo in D.C., man. Yeah. You know, like, whatever. So we're seeing people kind of looking at it of being kind of in the GOP in this administration as sort of an untenable situation. For some people, now the people will spin their reasons for doing it. But it's clear to see that some people would rather just retire than even try and put up a fight for their seat.
I'm not letting any of these things that I'm seeing give me any kind of hope in the Democratic Party. I'm still very much waiting to see what they do. Even if they do get control of the House, let's see how they use it. Because I just don't.
Right. So here's it.
Totally.
Because I think already the Democrats as a party, the platform is fucking whack.
It's like fucking whack.
It's not resonating with anybody except for the old people over in D.C. who think it's effective.
There was a front page article in the New York Times yesterday about how the Democratic Party is actually like trying to get people to drop out of the races so they don't like split the Democratic vote essentially. And they're always choosing like the centrist,
the establishment person.
The person who used to be a Republican and now is a Democrat because that like gets them physically aroused. Like the idea of like somebody who can appeal to both sides.
Oh, or a veteran.
Right.
Woo!
And so they're like get the people who they're encouraging to drop out are like, you know, outsiders
who are like, I was a social worker,
right?
And now
or women who like didn't aren't like establishment people, and that's bullshit because
bullshit.
As we saw in 2016, like we want outsiders. That's what people want right now.
But this is exactly why I don't trust them.
Right,
because I totally agree.
Day by day, don't show that they've learned from 2016 at all.
That most people in the base want to go away.
We
want to
go
left.
Away. You know who surprised the shit out of me? Cynthia Nixon. She did this. She did this video about legalizing marijuana and like called out how racist marijuana has been in the past or whatever, arresting black people for it while it's been legal for white people for a long time.
Right.
And she literally said that. And I was just like, you might make me want to vote for a celebrity.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. I never wanted to
I got
to vote
nervous
for
a second. I was like,
wait, like,
you literally said
right.
it's disproportionately affecting people
exactly.
of color.
Exactly. I was just like, whoa, she's really coming out swinging. And I was just like, that's what you have to do to grab our attention.
Especially people of color, because
especially
with white candidates, they like to dance around shit like that. Yeah. They'll never full throw to be like, hey, man, the criminal justice system is completely fucking up an entire section of our population.
If we learn anything from the Trump presidency, it's that the majority of the country is not okay with honesty. Like, we are not okay as a country saying that the president is racist, saying that the GOP is racist, or just talking about things as they actually are.
Right,
like, we're not okay with reality. And the way that the Democratic Party, seeing clearly that there is like this crop of black women, you know, I'm a black woman, so obviously I'm going to talk about stuff because this is what I feel like is just like looking at how the Democratic Party doesn't support and uplift black female candidates, even though these people have been on the ground
and delivering election after election
after election for you, building your campaigns, volunteering for you, doing all of the grunt work. And yet we're never elevated. Even though I think that black women could possibly save the party.
Oh.
When you have someone like Michelle Obama in the wings, who literally helped Barack Obama become president,
and you're not using
this insane resource that you have.
Well, there's a record amount of women and women of color running for office this cycle.
It gives me chills.
Yeah,
it
gives crazy. Because now I think people are actually, what's great is to see people be empowered and go, you know what, fuck this, I can actually do something. I don't give a fuck about what the traditional knowledge was around this. I know what I'm capable of. I see the energy. And I will now apply that to running a campaign.
But meanwhile, the DNCC's test for whether you are a viable candidate, they take your phone, they go through the list, and they're like, okay, how much could you get this person to donate?
Yeah.
How much could you get that person to donate? Are they like a fundraiser? Are they like basically how well connected are you to rich people?
Right.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah, because they're like, look, we can't have any broke people. Yeah.
Right.
You can be woke, but don't be broke.
But isn't that their job?
Like, yeah,
aren't they
exactly.
the ones that are supposed to be connecting them and helping
them
fundraise?
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
already
do you want to do your job?
You know, there are plenty of candidates who are raising with small donations or away from using super PACs. I mean, Kamala Harris just, I think, over the weekend was like, I'm not taking PAC money anymore. Because someone's running in 2020. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are plenty of people, like I know Elizabeth Warren raised a huge ton of money off small donations. There are a lot of people who are able to raise off small donor money because, yes, the reality is in politics, people, when they look at a candidate, they're like, well, is this guy funded? Because if they're not, then the DNC has to go, well, great, now we're going to have to fucking pitch in or whatever because they don't have their own hookups. But if we can get a lot of these candidates to not rely on the traditional forms of fundraising or their traditional donors or benefactors, then we can start to empower actual candidates that are more, you know, that they reflect the values that I think people want to see. And so I would tell you, if you see a potential candidate that embody the values that resonate with you as a voter, I would recommend giving them money because the money does add up and you can get them off of this idea of having to be beholden to a lot of these huge donors and then protect their interests once they get into office, because let's be real, that's sort of the game.
Right. At the same time, if somebody who's not establishment gets the ability to like raise money from a super PAC or something and they're having to compete with like the Koch brothers, take that shit.
Sure, sure. But again, all that money comes with strings attached. You know what I mean? There are expectations
on, you know,
once you kiss the ring.
George Soros.
Oh, fuck.
We know what's going on.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is, so they see they have this blue wave, as people are describing it, or a blue tsunami, like depending on how excited
I'm Japanese. I prefer wave.
Okay. How excited and motivated voters are totally determines how, you know, how many seats the Democrats take. And they're just taking it for granted that their base is going to come out in record number because they're mad at Trump. But they should not be taking it for granted, because if you have some candidate who is just another inauthentic person who is just playing politics. And that's not going to do it. That's not going to get people out. And the Republicans are going to the base.
They are. And again, the Hillary campaign took us for granted.
Yes.
She assumed that we would vote for her despite all the shit show that was going on in the DNC and those emails about, you know, trying to undermine Bernie's campaign. And it was just like, we don't like that shit either.
Right.
So it's just like, you guys continuing to take things for granted, our vote, our voice, or whatever it is. And I'm just like, there's clearly no learning. There's been no learning.
Right.
Well, which is the problem with the DNC, with the Democratic Party to me in general, is that they don't learn from mistakes.
Yeah. So well, the left in general is like a Thanksgiving dinner where everybody wants to say the polite thing about something and nobody's drunk enough to just start truth speaking at the table.
Right.
And right now, once we saw a little bit of truth speaking work, people were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What they have to realize now is that is actually a very sexy, there's a lot of appeal to say, yo, the country is fucked up.
It's fucked up.
We have real fucking solutions. We're not just going to say, hey, man, we're going to get you back to work. No, talk about income inequality. Talk about like how hard it is to own a home as a person of color. Talk about
how hard it is to go to college in this country.
Right.
Talk about how like unequal education is in this country. Even if you do go to a public school, are you going to go to a good one or are you going to go to a shitty one? Talk about the fact that there's no water in an American city. There's clean water.
Or
what
no power in
on?
The Commonwealth in Puerto Rico. Yeah,
right. Like, talk about how there's people coming up into Waffle Houses and little like schools and little kids and shooting it up in movie theaters and like, this is batshit crazy.
Yeah. Don't like paper over the cracks and be like, no.
Don't paper over it.
Let me talk about, let's hold Wall Street accountable.
Right.
Like, no, we're past that.
You guys didn't hold Wall Street accountable anyway.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure Hillary mentioned all those talking points, but then she also met with all these Wall Street people and was taking money from them, and you knew she wasn't going to do shit about it. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she never said anything that resonated with people of color like once on that campaign trail. Like, not
that campaign was what reminded me that Hillary was white. I was just like, oh yeah.
Yeah. like aside from a couple like boilerplate sort of like talking points, I was never like, whoa, she's really talking that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, that's because I think she took for granted that in general it just seemed like an easy choice. Like, look, you can vote for me or you can vote for this fucking shitbag.
She took
bag
for
over
granted
here.
That Bill was the black people's president ever since he played sax on Arsenio Hall. And like, and he ain't anymore.
and I think
you're not the black
and I
people's
think,
president.
And I
so.
Think their cat had a video game on Genesis, Sox the Cat. Or at least he had a comic book.
So, wow, I mean, that was cool.
What a time.
How did she lose you after that?
I don't know. I mean, back to what I was saying, though, about the midterm. So, So if the Democrats do take control, think about all these committees that have the subpoena power and how they can deliver all these congressional colonoscopies to the administration.
Right.
For example, the Ways and Means Committee, and this is from an article on Slate. They're talking about all the possible investigations that could happen with Democrats in power. The Ways and Means Committee, they can sharpen the national discussion around tax fairness and subpoenaing the president's tax returns. Okay, what about the Financial Services Committee? That would be chaired by Maxine Waters. I have a feeling if she was the fucking chairwoman, she would subpoena the shit out of.
God.
So for what's in their purview in the financial services, they have the authority to look at like sort of the phenomenon of, you know, foreign oligarchs laundering their ill-gotten gains through purchases of luxury condominiums like the ones that are in Trump-owned buildings in New York or that weird building in Miami that he sold for like a 300% profit inexplicably. And you look at even just sort of like the Armed Services Committee, they can convene like proceedings to fucking talk about why it's bad to share state secrets with people who don't have security clearances. Like basic things that Republicans want to act like, oh, well, it's not an issue. You know, there is the ability to actually be like, hold on, you need to come in here and explain what the fuck is going on.
Right. Expose the wildly corrupt shit that is happening.
Right. Like, in front of
the swamp.
Nobody likes corruption. It's going to be hard to argue with, although Trump supporters, I'm sure, will find a way. But yeah, if Democrats are a sober Thanksgiving, Republicans have become like Irish St. Paddy's Day. Like everybody's just fucking wasted and saying the first thing that comes to mind because they are just going to the base hard.
Yeah.
Like they're all of these House elections, they're wearing MAGA hats. They're basically talking about how like Trump is their savior of America.
Oh, you mean
democracy.
Like this new crop of candidates for the midterms?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, lock her up. In their campaign ads,
yo,
which
she's
is insane.
You're not running against Hillary Clinton, and you're saying
Hillary
lock her up still.
What the guy who said that has actually been to jail for killing 29 people by violating safety standards in the mine that he...
Oh, in his coal mine. Oh, yeah, Don Blankenship.
Don Blankenship. And his talking point is, we don't need to investigate our president. We need to arrest Hillary.
That doesn't even make
sense. So, yeah, they're just going back to the 2016 election, and basically the thing that they have going for them is, you know, the Democratic Party kind of went away from their authentic groundswell of support, and the Republicans went with it, and they're realizing, okay, go to this horrible, toxic wave of, you know, aggression that has been bubbling up.
What a weird, I mean, I guess we'll see if this two-year-old campaigning style will still hold up. I mean, it clearly didn't work for the countless Republicans that tried to brand themselves as, like, Trump clones in the special elections in the last 8 months. So. Right. That's one thing to somewhat rest easy about. But yeah, it feels like they're like, well, fuck it, man. Just play the greatest hits.
Right.
You know, maybe, yeah. maybe they'll keep dancing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not going to play these ads for you, but there's just crazy shit where, like, the guy's spouting off about, like, a guy running for the Senate in Missouri is talking about, like, how Trump is the savior of our country. He has also said that feminists have snake-filled heads. And he hopes his daughters don't become she-devils. So this is where we're at.
Anna Hosnier, you have a shirt that says feminist on. Now,
yeah, super producer Anna Hosnier.
How many snakes you got in your head? Uh-oh. You said it. Yep, your seven tongues said it all. What the fuck kind of thing is that? Snake head?
Snakes, like, in their head.
These guys don't get laid. I don't know what it is about Republicans and their fear of women and, like, pussy.
Right.
And, like, they just, it's like a force field they don't understand or something. Like,
right.
Just the way they talk about women is bananas.
Clearly, that's to be, like, evoke, you know, the fucking
devil
garden.
And
that's,
like,
the yeah, exactly, the yeah. beast or whatever.
It's very
so
evocative.
What, like, let's play out in their mind, if feminists took control of the country, what does that mean? Everyone's penis will have to be turned into a vagina, and then men are, like, thrown off the, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Because, like, it was easy with gay marriage. They say shit like, well, what's next? A man's going to marry a horse and a blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
What
it's
is there?
It's hard to, like,
what's that
like
fantasy
there
look
is
like?
No argument, right? Because this is just a person that's dumb or, like, I don't even want to call them dumb, but someone who doesn't have, like, a real actual point of view.
Sound opinions.
Yeah. Right. And then now I'm supposed to argue about the legitimacy of women?
Right, right.
Like,
exactly.
What am I arguing?
If I'm that candidate, I'm debating. Right. I'm like, oh, well, people of Missouri, it's clear to see. My opponent, I mean, look at all the fucking snakes in her head.
I mean, and I literally have, like,
braids,
braids yeah. in my hair right now.
You're
so
like, that's my,
like,
hairstyle?
Yeah.
Well,
thank
you. Well, you get where I'm coming from, don't you? I'm really curious what the fear is. Is that, I guess it's just that men are no longer the dominant force in society.
But
and I guess
they
that's,
are.
No, right. Exactly. Like, but isn't that, is that like the expiration date that they see coming?
It is
the
fear. It's the fear of.
Yeah. Sexual
I don't know
insecurity.
If it's their own sexual insecurity or the fear that a woman will. Because I don't think any man has a real fear that a woman will seduce him. Unless right. he is a basketball player or, like, you know, someone who has actual money who, that people are coming
yeah.
for.
And
you
can
know,
use
but,
that excuse where
right.
be like, hey, well, they were, I was seduced.
Exactly. And you literally were. But, like, the average man, I don't think, has to worry about, like,
right.
being seduced.
But
no,
they might
men
have
fantasize about being seduced.
They might have right. relationships with women who are less, you know, assertive. And they might just think, well, I could never, like, deal with a woman who speaks her mind
right.
because that's too intimidating.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, guys. Give it a try. It's actually very rewarding
try
to hang out with women.
Try thinking of
who,
a woman
oh, yeah,
as
yeah.
a person.
Yeah.
Number one. Think. Imagine you were talking to another human being
yeah.
and start there.
Very
my
easy.
My brain just exploded.
Holy shit.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
I never left.
But we wanted to continue with Trump's mental illness because there was an article in the Washington Post in the past week from the former reporter who wrote the Forbes 400 list back in the early 80s, who first put Trump on the list of the 400 richest people in America. And the first time that he put Trump on the list was because he got a call from a Trump employee named John Barron. we're going to listen to audio from that call.
Wait, okay, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, listen to our mentally ill president pretend to be somebody else.
Whenever you hear there's a call from anyone named John, is always Trump. I love
John Barron, because John Rich guy would have been. Too
what was the other one he said when he talked about
John Duke?
When he talked about Marla Maples, what was it when he's talking to a tabloid? He used a name John something too.
He pretended to be Marla Maples. He was like, "Hey Marla, I good at sex?" And then he was like, "Yes, you're the best I've ever had."
Yeah, did you hear that?
See
proof.
And
I'm not impotent.
The New York Post knew that that would sell the shit out of a newspaper and printed it. But anyways, so here is audio of the call that got Donald Trump to be known as a rich person. This is 1982. This is when people started to think that he was rich.
Well, let me tell you what the deal is, just so you understand. Mr. Trump bought, first of all, most of the assets have been consolidated to Mr. Trump, you know, because you have down Fred Trump. And I'd like to talk to you off the record if I can, just to make your thing easier.
Okay, sure.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. But I think you can really use Donald Trump now, and you can just consolidate. I think last year somebody showed me the article, and I think you had 200 and 200. And really, it's been pretty well consolidated now for the most part. As I also think somebody had mentioned that you had asked about that, or somebody had. And it's been pretty well consolidated, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's one point that you can...
Does Fred Trump make money management decisions?
Oh, yeah, sure. He's the chairman, Donald's the president, And Fred Trump is active. He's an excellent guy, and you know how they're very close. The relationship of the two is, as you know, very close, as you've heard or know, or perhaps you don't know. But Fred Trump is active in the business, too.
So he's basically saying they've consolidated all the power under Donald,
right.
And, you know, that he basically owns the company at this point, which was not true. He actually at that time was worth roughly $5 million, but they included him on the list at $100 million.
Because it's consolidated.
Right, because it's all consolidated. Yeah. And apparently the rule for convincing a Forbes reporter of something is just to say it's been consolidated like five times.
And also, that dude fucked up by putting him on the list. Like,
right.
If he was like, well, I got this call. I mean,
so then,
I guess I'm going to have to put him on here.
So it's also like we were talking about how sad Trump is when you really look at him from just like a psychological perspective.
Right.
This is a guy who's on the phone with someone pretending to be someone else, talking about how close his dad is to him and how
right.
much his dad likes him.
Weren't they not close?
I think they were okay, but it's just a weird, I think his dad was a real hard ass.
Yeah, just to underline that, he's like, I mean, they're so close. I mean, you'd think it was like a 50s comedy.
They go on
yeah.
vacation together.
It's like Leave It to Beaver.
Can you imagine, like, you'd have to be an empty shell to be able to pick up that phone.
Pretend,
you,
right, right.
Miles calling you. So I got a, listen, hot guest for your pod.
Uh-huh.
Look, real into what you guys are doing, Jay. I really like the moves you're making.
Uh-huh.
I want to recommend, this is not me, this is definitely
okay,
my client,
well, I'm
Caitlin
sorry,
Gill.
Who am I speaking with?
You are not talking to Caitlin Gill.
Okay.
That is my client. I am a representative. My name is Carrie Bradshaw.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for taking my, listen, I am a fabulous client. She's just tremendous. She's huge.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, literally, she is 6'1", 220. She's bringing it down. Don't worry about the numbers, but those are consolidated numbers. Now, listen, what I need you to know is that Caitlin is literally the funniest person alive. You name a comedian, okay, they're probably better and more famous. But look, what you don't know yet is you don't have Caitlin on the list. You don't have her on. I am definitely not Caitlin. I am the funniest person
Ooh.
In the world. It's just
That's
this...
when I go, yo, Jack, Caitlin just called. And
No. You hear that like from a dead phone hung
right.
up. No, it's not Caitlin. I'm not Caitlin. Put me on your podcast, please.
Also, her
Your listeners are so engaged. Come on.
Shout out to the Zeit Gang.
It's just the saddest.
Yeah. No, right. Yeah, to take yourself there, because it does remind you of like, we all grew up with kids in school who would just lie so aggressively.
My dad is a cop.
I did
that. Yeah. Oh, did you?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
About the weirdest shit.
Well, kids do that.
Places I'd been.
For sure.
Stuff my family had. Sex things I had definitely not even heard of before I made
right.
them up.
Right.
Like, I absolutely lied to make a world more interesting than my own. And then I realized
absolutely.
That I make my world interesting.
Right. And then you grow, but then you start seeing some of those kids don't get past
they
that.
Don't.
And then they still do it. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, you really telling people you're a fashion designer. Like, I have friends who are still on that. I'm like, bro, you're wearing a woman's jacket.
Right.
And you'll be like, no, this is like the new style. I'm like,
fashion designer
right,
equals shops well at the Goodwill.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
And then I was just like, but then you start realizing, you're like, man, like, I guess it was different. Like, you know, as a kid, you say shit, like you say, to make your own life interesting to yourself or for the perception of you to other people. But then after a while, you realize, oh, I have more control over this. I can take agency of my life or
yes.
whatever. And then you see the other people who have just relied on that for so long. That they really have just completely, you know, deluded themselves into being a place like that.
But you just have to have such an empty, sucking wound where a soul would be to just be that desperate
that
to put something in there, the Forbes 400 list. Like, that's, he needed it.
Yeah.
Like, it was like he was holding his breath, and until he got on the Forbes 400 list, he couldn't take another breath. Like, it was just desperation.
$5 million. Like,
which
at the
he
time,
inherited.
He's just sad he doesn't have $100 million.
Right.
But I can't imagine that getting $100 million is going to satisfy that person.
Right.
Well,
it just is. It's sad. I'm trying to find some kind of compassion.
Right.
Because this is obviously a sad person.
Right.
He's still responsible for his actions.
Right. Now,
and what he does about that sadness.
He used that $100 million estimation of his wealth, which was a lie, to then start securing loans from other people because he was like, look at it.
Look, Forbes, they got me at $100 million, so
which
give
is
me
too
20
low,
bucks.
Dude,
obviously.
That shit,
too low.
Can you walk into a bank and just slap a Forbes on a desk and be like, this is better than any formal record.
Apparently. Yeah.
When he was trying to get one of his casinos, Nick Stump, super producer, reminding us that, yes, there is a scene where they're talking about how they're worried about how he's going to secure approval from the Gambling Commission for one of his casinos. They're like, well, how are you going to get funding? He was just like, I'm on the Forbes list.
Right.
Don't worry about it. I'm on the. I can get that. And that perception was enough to just be like, oh, okay.
Right. And then he managed to bankrupt a bunch of casinos, which is so hard.
That is very difficult. Just,
that is a business where people walk in and give you their money and walk out. Let's move on to more messiness involving the Trump administration because his pick to lead the VA, a man with very little managerial experience, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, a.k.a. Rom Ron Jaxie Babies, a.k.a. the funk doctor, Mr. Punk Rocker, got the drug stock up in the lunchbox.
Wow, we got Ari Melber over here?
Yeah, so complaints started out with, you know, he handed out a couple Ambien on overseas flights to, you know, the president's staff, Obama and Bush's staff, and maybe a couple Provigil to help pet people up a little bit once they landed somewhere. And, you know, maybe he got a little too drunk on a couple of those trips
right.
and couldn't be resuscitated when he was needed to, like, do his job. And so they had to take his credentials to another backup doctor. And, you know.
Wait, what do you mean he couldn't be resuscitated?
Or he couldn't be woken up.
Like, he was so
he
drunk?
He was so drunk they couldn't wake him up.
That's dope.
That's so cool.
And then there's also the story where he almost woke President Obama up because he was drunkenly pounding on a female subordinate's door, trying to get her to let him in so he could presumably, like, sexually harass her before passing out on her floor. You know, that's not so bad. Happens to the best of us. And the press tried to get, like, backup on a couple of those things, and they were like, we're not getting anything from the, you know, Obama administration officials. They're all saying he's, like, the best guy. But it turns out, like, stuff kept coming out. Turns out he not only got drunk on the road, he got so drunk at a Secret Service retirement party that he crashed a government car. He was frequently known to, like, give and take prescription drugs, like, around just the office, including controlled substances like Percocet.
Wow.
Yeah, Ronnie Percocet.
Okay, future Hendrix.
As they called him. But yeah, he was just like an all-around fuck-up, which makes me wonder, like, I think those Obama administration officials that they were, like, trying to get backup from were like, nah, man, he hooked it up.
Like, well, exactly. Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too,
like,
is most
you never
people,
rat on your drug dealer.
Most people were like, everyone was like, yo, it's very normal for them to hand you sleep aids and Provigil on these trips because, like, when you're doing, like, diplomatic missions and shit, you're on a plane, you're in a completely different time zone, and then you got to be ready, active to do the thing. So most people were kind of like, yes, that's actually pretty normal.
Yeah, that's fine. Like,
right.
If he's,
it's a role that's needed in the government.
Yeah, he's writing, like, kind of on-the-fly prescriptions for people, like, the same way. Like, Provigil was invented to help fighter pilots. Like,
yeah, a lot of fighter pilots
stay awake while they're, like, fucking flying around the world to go do missions. So it's not that big a deal if he's giving it to other people. But if he's prescribing himself Percocet, like...
Yeah, and then, like, popping pills in the office and, like, also just the reports of, like, what it was like to work for him about, like, people use words like toxic, abusive, volatile, vindictive, like...
Yeah. Toxic masculinity. Yep. He kissed up and kicked down, they said. Like, he was just a fucking awful, the shittiest guy you work with.
That's why this shit isn't as, like, crazy as the fact that this is the White House can't pick people that are appropriate for these jobs.
Right. You could almost argue, okay, you almost need someone that's basically this guy to be, like, the dark part of keeping... got the government running.
Right.
Like, you have to give people speed, evidently, to run the government.
Oh,
so
for sure.
If that's a given, then that doctor is going to end up being like this. You just don't promote him.
Right. You just don't make him the head of the second largest. Like, how many people? I think it's 300,000 employees.
Yeah. And it's not just about medical killer either. It's like a financial body, too, like, of giving assistance to veterans. So he's just wholly unprepared and unqualified for this thing. And it's just, again, this method of hiring at the White House is like, yo, that dude's chill.
Right.
Which cabinet should he run? Like, or which department should he run?
So we can control this guy because we've seen him do as much.
Yeah, like we were saying, other administrations would have vetted him, sniffed all this shit out like months in advance or weeks in advance. But instead of doing that, Trump's method was to just be like, yeah, he seems like a good guy. Let's use him. And then when the media revealed all this shit, he was like, you know, if I were you, I'd drop out. Like that was an actual headline. It was like,
bro, you
Trump.
You gassed me up to get out there. What the fuck? Right. Yeah, but now, man, I'm like, hey, I wouldn't.
But now.
It looks like a mistake, my man.
Right.
It's a no for me.
Trump is that asshole cousin who like runs up to the edge of the pool and then stops and then you jump in.
Wow. Basically.
Doesn't it feel, though, that like, I genuinely think there's not that much artifice with these people. They're like, they believe it. They're like, yeah, he's our boy.
Yeah.
He's our boy. We get to do what we want. And then they're like, oh, he's not our boy, I guess.
Right.
Hey, you should really drop out, my man.
Right, right.
Yeah. No, yeah. They just don't know that there's any such thing as a more functional administration. They just think that everybody is as big a fuck up as them. So.
That's... Right, and they also don't know any better doctors, to be fair.
Right.
He's the best.
I mean, Dr. Oz will probably be next.
I mean, come on. Anybody named Ronnie? All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.